More gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, a rock and a redeemer. Amen. I like to listen to other preachers, and I wanted to hear what some people preached about this particular passage. I found that many of them focused on the portion about shaking the dust off your feet. And I thought they were going the wrong direction a lot of times in their sermons. Because this particular passage, when you hear "shake the dust off your feet," it is not giving us self-improvement or self-empowerment tips. It's not telling us how to handle people who have bullied us or laughed at us or ridiculed us because of who we are or who they perceive us to be. And yet so many preachers that I listen to turn this into a lesson on moving on when people have hurt us. I heard some of them say, "Shake the dust off your feet of all those people who have bullied you. Shake the dust off your feet of all those relationships where you've been hurt. Just shake the dust off your feet and move on." And that is often what we need to do, but that is simply not what this lesson is about. This lesson is about people rejecting God and God's message. It is also about trusting God to provide through the hospitality of those who receive the message. How are we told to respond to people who have hurt us? Is it really to shake the dust off our feet and call upon God to condemn them? No, we're called to forgive. That's why I say this lesson is not what some preachers that I heard preached about. So let's look carefully at today's gospel lesson. If you remember, last week we had the healing of Jairus' daughter, the healing of the woman with a hemorrhage. Now Jesus has gone home to Nazareth, his hometown. This is a place where people know him best. He has so many similarities with the people there. They speak the same language with the same accent. They worship together in the same synagogue. They have the same teachers, neighbors, and friends and relations. Of all people, you would think that they would understand him. You would think that they would be happy about the success that he has had. And what is their reaction to him? The reaction is something like this. Who does this guy think he is? Didn't we grow up with him? Don't we know his family, his mother, his brothers, his sisters? Isn't your cousin married to one of his sisters? How could he have left his family to go out on this preaching and teaching tour that is likely to get him in trouble? Shouldn't he have stayed home to help support his mother? Jesus interprets the response as the response that a prophet should expect going back to his hometown. He says a prophet may be honored in many places, but not in his hometown, not in his own home. The response of those in Nazareth prevents Jesus from doing many works of power, as he's done in other places. We're told that he's able to heal a few sick people, but that's it. He is astonished by their lack of belief. And so Jesus decides to expand the scope of his ministry by sending the 12 out, giving them power and authority to do what he has done. But he gives them some special instructions. He tells them what they can wear, what they should carry. He tells them to take nothing on their journey. They're not to take a staff. They're not to take food. They're not to take two tunics. They're not to take any money with them. And when they go out, they're to find a worthy household and stay there and not move on from household to household trying to seek a better, more comfortable place to be. They're supposed to be relying on the hospitality of others who are eager to hear the message. So we see the contrast between Jesus' reception in Nazareth, their lack of hospitality, their lack of understanding of his message, and what the 12 are expected to encounter as they go out into the world. They're expected to rely upon God, to have trust in God as they spread God's message to the people that they encounter. They are not to have any appearances of going out for personal gain. They're just to rely and trust in God and the hospitality of those to whom they are sent. And if they encounter a village that does not want to hear the message that they have to preach, as they leave, they are to shake the dust off. And shaking the dust off is a condemnation. In other gospel messages, when Jesus tells them to shake the dust off their feet, he sometimes says that Sodom and Gomorrah will be treated better in the end days than these villages that have refused to accept God's message. Whew. That's quite a condemnation. So shaking the dust off their feet is saying this place is not worthy to be part of God's kingdom. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's not just, as some preachers I heard say, just shake off the dust and move on. No, this is a condemnation of those who won't listen to God's word. I think about my own life and how dusty my feet are. Because God has had a way of sending me to places that I have not planned to go. And you've heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. Every time I had a plan for where I thought God was going to send me, God had a different plan. In my first year of seminary, I was sure that I knew the church that was going to welcome me and allow me to begin ministry. And so I went to a church, the closest one to me that wasn't my home congregation, out in Yucaipa, about 20 minutes away, and talked to the pastor there whether she could mentor me, and she asked me to come back in 2 days, and I did, and I came back, and I knew that she was going to tell me no, and she did. She said, I can't take on a student right now. But I was talking to some other pastors, and there's one who's really eager to have you. She's out in Palm Desert, thinking, Palm Desert, that's an hour and a half away. I don't want to go to Palm Desert. And so I started searching at closer churches, and all of them said, I can't handle you right now. And so I went out to Palm Desert. We worked it out how many days I needed to work there because it was so far away. And the traffic can be really, really bad. And I loved it. And I thought, I'm going to stay here for my second semester. I'm really learning a lot from the individual who's my mentor. This is a great place to be. Interesting things are happening here. And then she told me that she was going to be taking a different call, and I needed to find a different church to work in. And so I went back to the first church, and they were willing to take me on. And they were a Lutheran church in fellowship with an Episcopal church being served by an Episcopal priest. I can tell you I learned a lot of things about how not to pastor a church by being in that particular setting, especially how to pastor churches of different denominations and the things that can go wrong. Wonderful teaching that she was not intending to teach me, but that I learned. And the people in these two congregations were wonderful and very receptive to having me and my feeble teaching at the time. And then when I had heard that we had hospital chaplaincy to do, I knew where I was going to go. I was going to go to Loma Linda, which is almost literally down the street around the corner, maybe 15, 20 minutes away. And so I hand-delivered my application for their chaplaincy program and waited and waited and then contacted them. And they said, yes, we remember you're coming in with your application. We lost it. And now the time has passed, and you can't be part of the next class because we've already chosen them. And I started looking for another place to be, and they were all far too far away. I was told, well, you can go to Los Angeles. You can do anything for 3 months. That's about a two-hour trip one way. So 4 hours of traveling plus a 12-hour shift? I don't think so. And in the middle of the night, I heard this voice that said, why don't you see what's in Oklahoma? Oklahoma. You want me to check out what's in Oklahoma? That's on the other side of the country from California. But I did. I found a program at OU Medical Center in Oklahoma City and applied. And the next day received a phone call saying, welcome to our program. And then I called a friend of mine who lived in Norman, Oklahoma, and asked if I could spend the summer with her, and did. And had a wonderful experience. So many people there eager to have me come into their rooms and sit with them at their bedsides and grieve with them or rejoice with them when things went well. And then it was time for internship, and we were told to choose 6 to 8 programs. All of the interviewing was on Zoom, and so I chose mine. And then there were some latecomers. And I looked at one of them and said, no, I don't think that one's for me, and looked at the other and said, well, I'm already interviewing in South Dakota. Why not? And so I interviewed, and two of the ones for which I interviewed were definitely a no. But there were 6 that looked pretty good, and so I ranked them according to where I wanted to be. And then I got the call. Of course, the one that I ranked last was one where I was being sent. Aberdeen, South Dakota, where I had a wonderful experience. People so eager to help me as a student. People so eager to listen to teaching and preaching. And then I was so sure that they were just going to leave me in South Dakota that when my husband came to visit me there, he brought a truckload of stuff up there. When I received the phone call from my bishop saying, you've been approved for ordination and assigned to the Rocky Mountain Synod, I said, I understood the first part of that. But I've been assigned to the what? Because if you had asked me when I started seminary, where do I not want to go, it wouldn't have taken me 2 seconds to say, please do not send me to the Rocky Mountain Synod. Send me anywhere, Lord, but not to the Rocky Mountain Synod. Please, please don't send me there. And that comes from my teenage years being spent in Salt Lake City. Please don't send me back to Utah. But I came here. And I've been so warmly welcomed here. It's amazing. I've been here almost 3 years now. And I've been overjoyed at how receptive you've been to my preaching, my teaching. I look at all these places that God has sent me, and there is not one place where I've had to shake the dust off my feet. I think I'm most fortunate. Because I look at Jesus, and he went to the people of his hometown. Did he shake the dust of Nazareth off his feet? Because we're not told that he ever goes back. Does he never go home again? Do these people turn around in their thoughts about Jesus? Each of us is sent on a mission by God to spread the gospel message to those we encounter. Not all of us are sent bouncing around places in the country that we never thought about going into. But we're all sent into our own communities, into our own neighborhoods, into our own houses to spread God's message. Knowing that sometimes people will listen, sometimes they will be so receptive, and other times we just need to shake the dust off and move on. Sometimes, though, we just need to see it as scattering seed and scattering seed and scattering seed, hoping that some of it takes. So many images that we have in the gospel, images of condemnation, the images of perseverance. So as you encounter the people in your world, as you spread the gospel message to them, how are you going to respond to how they respond to you?